Blog Talk Radio.
1, 2, 1, 2.
You're listening to the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim, providing you with that gleam of hope. Yes, I wait for a long time. I really wait for this day to come. I am so excited to be with you. This is the voice of Minister Kim, and I want to welcome each and every one of you this morning to our Gleam of Hope Saturday. Yes, we truly like to embrace you with hope that will propel you to have a phenomenal Saturday and a phenomenal week. We just want you to be blessed. So, again, I am super excited, as you probably can hear my voice. This month we already kicked off with our segment, Men on Fire. I love to celebrate our men, our fathers. They're doing awesome stuff for the kingdom of God, and I love my brothers. With their inspiring, powerful, anointed, and emotional mannerism, we have had some awesome men just grace our platform to inspire us. You don't want to miss the remaining weeks when we are celebrating our Men on Fire. On last week, we had Vincent K. Harris. He definitely stopped by and inspired us to pursue our dreams. Today, we have another awesome man who is going to inspire us how to maximize one's singleness. How are you going to maximize your singleness? What does it mean to maximize your singleness, your oneness? You'll have the opportunity to hear from Elder Nathan Salter, who recently published his first book called Seven Things Singles Should Accomplish Before Marriage, which is becoming one of the most talked about books for singles. This book has given him many radio interviews and TV appearances, sharing on his practical information that is helping so many singles. So, single people, guess what? Get your notepads, make sure that you take some notes, and you will have an opportunity to ask questions throughout the show today. We also want to celebrate Father's Day. Woo-hoo! We kicking it off right here, pre-Father's Day on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Radio Angel, you and I have been really talking about this, and it is dear to my heart. As we have seen last month, how, you know, the restaurants are so full. Amen. It's always an overflow for Mother's Day. We see the cards, we see the flowers, there's gifts. There's always acknowledgement for our mothers, and I thank God for that, so I thank you. But we also have to salute the man. We have to salute the husband. We have to salute that brother. We have to salute that father who is there physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally. He sets the tone of his household. So we have asked some of our guests, our supporters, to send us in messages so that they can inspire you, my brothers. Here is one poem that I admired. It's called A Father's Day Poem, In Her Eyes. The death of a father's love shows in his daughter's eyes. What known is what shown from sunset to sunrise. A foundation built on more than just what is spoken. Its comments kept and promise that go unbroken. An emotion so immense that nothing in this world can erase. The permanent impression of love is tattooed upon her face. A relationship so peculiar that only the two can understand, yet so immaculate it's obvious that by God it was planned. This was submitted by Michelle W. Emerson. Here's our
tribute.
back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep,
okay. Never. Radio Waves has an issue. I have an issue. I don't know about you, but God is good. God is great. And we want to honor our fathers near and far. Amen? I just want you to think about this song. I want to think about your dad today. Amen? Again, we want to wish you happy Father's Day from our hearts to yours. When we come back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope, our guest, Elder Nathan Salter. We'll be back.
Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I pray for her even more than me. I pray for her.
Nathan Salter is a man who has a passion to share the love and heart of God through music and teaching. His music ministry began in 1992 as a drummer. Through his many exposures in being to be developed as an accomplished drummer, playing for several groups and artists, he then began to have a heartfelt desire to express the songs God had impregnated in his heart, which led him to the piano. He began writing his own music and shortly after began to produce albums. Nathan has been served and continues to serve in the kingdom as the minister of music since 2000. Wow, powerful. I told you we have another anointed man of God. He is truly on fire. At present, he is at the Greater Refuge Temple of Christ Church in Buffalo, New York. He also is ordained elder, amen, where the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ of Apostolic Faith and teacher of the gospel. He accepted his call as a minister in 2005. He is currently as well sought after speaker. He is in high demand to share his practical messages to the youth, singles, and musicians. It is an honor to welcome to some of you Elder Nathan Salter to the show. Welcome, Elda.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we are so happy that you are here with us.
Mm-hmm. I am honored, very honored and blessed to be able to connect with you all, and I'm super excited about today.
We are super excited as well. Today, we have so many things that we want to talk about, but we want to narrow it down as we are celebrating you as a man on fire. From the very beginning, I believe God had you impregnated, amen, with these awesome gifts, the gift of ministry to usher us into worship, amen, to give God glory and honor and praise, to then have you just focus on the young people, amen, the singles. I'm so grateful, amen, that you're tapping into cultures, dynamic diversity of individuals that some people just say, I don't want to deal with the young people. Amen. We had Vincent K. Harris on Elda a couple of weeks ago, and he focuses on the youth. So I applaud you this morning that you have a heart for the young people. You know?
Amen. Amen.
You really do.
It's really important. You know, they, you know, a lot of us who's now in our, who's adults.
Mm-hmm.
We've experienced a lot of things because people didn't invest in us.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if somebody would have just took us by the reins and kind of just, you know, showed us the way, we would have avoided
mm-hmm.
a lot of mistakes we've made. So, yeah, I'm grateful for the young people.
Yes. Mm. You heard it here on the Morning Glory. Elder Nathan Salt says, invest in the young people. Why? Because some of the mistakes, and he didn't put the age up. You start to go there. But you know some of us, adults, amen, been on this earth quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our mistakes is because no one wanted to invest in us. But you know what? I'm going to say this here, Elder. And, you know, I'm coming up on 49 years old, and I'm not ashamed. I'm grateful for life today. When I grew up in my community, everyone watched out for the children. We had a woman named Miss Brown, and she owned Carolina's Kitchen, and she would sit her chair out in front of her restaurant and just watch us up and down, and if she saw us going left or saying something was inappropriate, she would just call us over by name with that little index thing and say, come here. She wouldn't embarrass us publicly, but she would bring us and get our full attention and look dead in our eye and say, now you know your mother, your parents did not raise you that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you don't want me to have a conversation with your parents, you know.
Right.
So you knew that if you didn't straighten up, that there will be consequences later on. So I, again, honor the gift that's inside of you, what you're doing around the world, even in Africa, when it comes to our young people, investing in them, letting them know that their voice matters, you know, that you count. Even I'm busy, I'm grown, I'm doing various different things, but I take the time out for you. So I thank you so much.
Amen, amen.
It is an
honor, and I'm excited about what God is doing with our next generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So am I. So going back to the music, because I know you are a man, a minister of music, amen, and I know you love to worship. I've been listening to your songs, and we're going to definitely allow our audience to hear two of your songs today. Is it, what, in the family bloodline, or this is just your authentic gift that God has given you, and you just master? Tell us what's going on with it.
Well, it's funny because it is on my dad's side, it is musical. A lot of my uncles and my father, you know, they all had music in their blood. So that that has been a blessing. However, for me, I never really took lessons or anything. When I was a young man, like I said, I was all over the place. And the thing that I always loved listening to music, but it was just all secular music. And when I got saved, the thing that really connected me when I first got saved was the musicians at the church. And I just, you know, I was a young man, had no direction, couldn't go to college, didn't graduate from high school. So I was just like in need, you know, and I'm like, I don't know what my purpose in life. All I was about was chasing girls, and that was it. And here I started hearing this music, and I was hearing these melodies in my head, and I didn't understand. And that's what led me to want to start messing around. So nobody never really taught me. I just kind of filled in when the other drummer wasn't at church. And I began to just kind of start jumping trial and error. You know, I was the drummer that would play when nobody was at church, you know. So at the services, when we only had five people, that's when I was the drummer. And I would mess up, learn, and so that's kind of how it got started. And then the whole thing, when I started hearing songs, that's what kind of led me to want to learn the piano, and that's kind of been the beginning of my journey when it came to music.
Preparation, how God forgives us. Thank God for your obedience of showing up even when there were five people in the pews. Amen? Amen. Show up, young people. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're currently going through. Just show up. Show up to church tomorrow morning. You never know. Amen. Your gifts make room for you. Amen. His gifts made room for him. Amen. And look where Elder Falters is at this point in his life. When we come back, we're definitely going to have more with our Elder Nathan Falters here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Make sure that you have a notepad, because when we come back, we're going to have an interesting topic for you to also call in and ask some questions. We'll be back. CEO and owner of Falters Christian Music Institute, a company comprised of a music school, recording studio, music composing, music producing, instrument, rental, sound rental, and music clients, and workshops. Nathan currently teaches at the Greater Refuge Temple Bible Institute. He also travels extensively, teaching seminars on singleness and worship. Nathan has recently released his first book, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to hold it for a moment. I'm trying, Elder. Nathan's powerful simplicity, teaching, and music ministry has caused him to speak and minister at Black, Hispanic, White, and Asian congregations and conferences throughout the United States, Canada, and Africa. It is such an honor to have this awesome man of God being acknowledged here as a man on fire. Can you hear it? Yes, we can. He is doing awesome stuff. He has with a team. It's called the Worship Leaders Program Team for the Joshua Revolution Youth Conference. So he's doing awesome things. We want to get you, for all of our young people, especially those who are part of our Leadership Corner, check out this website, www.joshuarevolution.org. are. Amen. We want you to be revolutionized. Amen. We want the gift inside of you to be stirred up. When we come back, we're going to definitely go into his book. We're going to be talking about maximizing your singleness. We're all the single people. I see you on the switchboard. We thank you for joining us this morning. Don't forget to go get your notepad and make sure you jot down your questions. We'll be back. And wonderfully made by our very own Olga Nathan Saltis right here on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope. Yeah, you must get your copy today. We definitely will have the information up for you to grab it. Amen. We got it. We're going to be playing it because you're definitely fearful and wonderfully made to all of our men, all of our listeners today as we celebrate Father's Day. So, Olga, you recently published your first book. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Called Seven Things Singles Should Accomplish Before Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
This book has been talked about. You have been on various interviews, TV appearances, just embracing the audience and giving them practical information to help them maintain, maximize their singleness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not single, but I'm taking notes for all my single ladies. Amen? All my single men. Amen?
Amen. That, it is so funny because a lot of my married friends, they have said, man, I wish I would have read this book before I got married. But it's great. I'm blessed by the outcome of what came with it. But a lot of the seven things I share with it is things that I have personally lived. And, you know, because I believe we can't share anything that we don't live first. And these seven things has transformed my life. So I wrote it with conviction. I knew it was the Holy Spirit driven. And so many people have said that it has radically changed their life. So I pray that it be a blessing to you all.
Yeah, so let's just dive right into it, amen, and get our audience some books, amen, on this Father's Day. Seven things singles should accomplish before marriage. I have one question for you automatically. I've been posting it on our fan page. If you're not connected to us, you need to get connected right here on Facebook, which is the Morning Glory, IVO Hope, just like us, and you definitely will have dialogue with us on a daily basis. It's how does one maximize their singleness when you have so many people married talking about the benefits and the loveliness and all this stuff around them? And then you have a set of individuals that kind of downplay their heart desire. They're like, well, I want to get married. I'm happily single. But they go home to a lonely home, and they're lonely. They're breaking down. They wish they had a companion. Like, let's be real here today. How does one embrace love on God and just maximize this time that they can be in God and just do some sort of searching for their own wellness? How does one do that?
It's funny. It's one word, purpose.
I got to write that down.
Purpose. Yeah, it's the thing that changed my whole, because prior to being where I am today, I was single, frustrated, saved, going to church, but going home the way you said it. And the reason why a lot of singles don't know how to maximize it is because they don't know their life's mission, their life's assignment. any when you know your purpose is your greatest goal. Your mate comes in to help you fulfill that. What we have done in the past is we have made marriage our goal and put purpose second. And what happens is people get married and then they say, okay, now we got the companion. But now there's friction in the home because they don't have a common mission or a common vision that God has given them as a couple. So what I share with singles is that if a person who is single knows their calling, knows their purpose, knows their life's assignment, and I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about knowing why they were born. That in itself fulfills them. That's what Adam had in the Garden of Eden. Adam didn't even know he needed a wife because he was so connected, you know. So what I'm saying is that we have the natural qualities, all of us, even myself. I might have a desire to get married, and I know that's going to happen, but I'm not anxious. I'm not anxious because purpose gives me so much to do that I don't have time to be lonely and frustrated. And that's what maximizing means. Maximizing means you're gonna go, you're gonna take something to its full extent before you transition. So it's like going to school. You maximize high school before you go to college. So what a lot of single people want to do is skip high school and jump to college. And then they get to college and they prepare for it. So what I do is tell singles, in your maximizing, you are in preparation stage for your next season. This is what makes the maximizing enjoyable. It's like you're going to learn on how to be a good spouse. You're in that season learning who you are so you know what to give your spouse when you get married. And that's what maximizing does. So how a person does it is that they have to see what, Lord, go to God, love, go, God, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What have you called me to do? Show me the books. Show me the music. Show me the CDs. Show me that now. And when I get my spouse can help me multiply what you already showed me.
Right. So they're not there to fulfill. I think a lot of times we get married and want someone to fill us up when everything that you need is originally inside. Like you started out, which was great. Hey, Adam had everything. You know what I'm saying? He had everything. God said, I will give you a helpmate. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you got to know your purpose. I love it.
Absolutely. And it's, and Adam maximizes singleness to the point that God shuts him down and said, go to sleep. You maximize it so well, it's time for you to rest. Just like God rested on the seventh day, God said, okay, Adam, you did your work for the 6 days. Now rest. And when he woke up, God says, your next level is here because you maximized where you were. That's what maximizing singleness is about. It's about, before this person comes in my life, I got to get all the things, God got to squeeze all the juice out of me first so I can know what I'm bringing to the next level. So the next level is basically someone coming in and now helping me to multiply what I've been doing single. So single people are frustrated, and they don't realize that if they don't learn how to maximize their relationship with God, maximize their purpose and life's assignment, meaning ask questions why there's nobody there to distract you. Ask the questions. Find out what you like. Find out what you dislike. Get the knowledge of who you are before the person come in so you can let the person know up front, listen, I'm just letting you know this is who I am. Now, there's some things I know we're going to learn along the way, but the maximizing means I am focusing on making sure I pass high school so I can be prepared to transition to a greater level of living, which is marriage.
Oh, you just blew me away with Adam. I just tweeted it here on our fan page on Facebook. Adam maximized his purpose. That's why God put him to sleep. He fulfilled that purpose. It was time for him to go to the next level. Let me just throw a controversy here. So is this perhaps why some of us who have a desire to have a helpmate for our rib remain single because we have not maximized the first assignment that God intended for our life? So you can't go to the next level. You can't graduate because you got to pass the first one.
There you go.
Because, I'm about to run all over the studio. You don't understand. Oh, my God. It sounds like my life.
Because this is what most singles think. They don't like who they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, when I get married, my life gets
wow.
better. And they don't realize you're only going to bring into your marriage what you are single. So if you are frustrated, if you are a single person who's angry, bitter, frustrated, lonely, when you get married, the only thing that happens is another person gets to experience that with you. So if you are single and you're full of purpose, your relationship with God is together, you know who you are, you're confident in your own skin, you're bringing that into your marriage and your partner benefits from it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I try to do is help single people realize you got so much self-awareness to do that's how you maximize yourself, because your partner, God is saying, okay, if you can't manage you, why should I allow me to give you one of my sons or daughters for you to mismanage them? Because if you don't like you, if you don't love you, I can bring somebody into your life who loves you, and you won't receive it because you don't love you. So let me take time to get you fixed with you. So this is what singles should be doing while they're single. They should not be – most singles are trying to get out of the season of singles because they don't have their stuff together, as opposed to wanting to get out of the season because they are so blessed they got to share it. I tell singles all the time, you want to get married because you are so blessed single that you got to share it in marriage. That's my motto. That is my motto. My motto is I want to be so blessed in my singleness that it overflows, and God has to bring another person in my life for me to share it with. That's what happened to Adam. He was so blessed. He was so fulfilled. I said, oh, Lord, he got so much to manage. Let me just help him. Yeah. I could go all day about this. Lord, help me. I'm sorry.
This is your airtime. You helping the people. Radio Angel has a question. She's going to open up her mic. Radio, open up your light. Mike, she got a question for you.
Okay, so I don't really have a question. I just have a testimony.
Okay.
After Shalina Diva, she said, man, you got to get this guy on your show. You got to check out this guy. And you know how we do. We make sure we check him out before we bring him on. And so what's so wonderful is, Elder Salters, you have some free stuff on your website that people can take advantage of just to kind of wet their whistle and really hear some stuff, and you really give good nuggets. So I did that. Immediately after that, I went and bought the book. Immediately after that, I went and bought the whole Lust versus Love series. Then I went and bought the Maximize thing. And what's so interesting about the whole series is that what it taught me was that love is an action word. And God dealt with me, not so much in my singleness, but dealing with me with my aunt and just being able to love her through action. Once I listened to your series, even though Lust versus Love is not about, it's not about, family relationships or anything like that, but there were so many things that you said in the series that helped me to deal with my aunt on a whole different level. Because you talked about what love really is, and it's an action word. So it's funny because after really listening to it, first of all, I had to go and share it with everybody. I was like, oh, my God. They was like, oh, God, if you don't get away from me, Cam. So that was the sense. But the thing was is that I took a different approach when dealing with her. So all of a sudden, cooking her food didn't become a chore, but yet it became a place of honor. Like, it's an honor to be able to cook your food. It's an honor to be able to help you to get in the tub. It's an honor to just be able to have you and talk to you. So it went from, oh, my God, I can't stand this. My family's left me here to do this and such, to it's an honor. And so for me, your series and what you're doing out there is awesome. So now you know, now my ear is tuned to hear something else. So now I'm like, okay, so now let me really maximize my singleness. And that's what happened this year as well. I just, something happened to me and I was just like, no, forget that. I'm gonna be in this and I'm going to enjoy what it is to be single. Because
Amen.
From my understanding, Jesus, okay, listeners, Jesus' disciples, I think only one of his disciples out of 12 was married. 11 of them were single, and they went off to do most powerful things, healing, bringing people from the dead, bringing the word. So, you know, knowing that and hearing the stuff that you have preached about, it's just like, wow. So I'm walking in my singleness, and I'm walking in it whole.
You know, that is so profound what you said. And I tell single people all the time, I said, the dividing factor in this whole singleness thing is our perception of it. In the past, I was told singleness was a curse. So for me, not to be married was you were cursed or some, you know, like I was told I couldn't be in ministry unless I had a wife. So for me, I wasn't even trying to do anything exciting for God until I was married. You see the bondage that put me in? It put me in this trap that I can't serve God until I meet a woman. So this is why my focus was strictly on I had to get married. And every time I was about to do it, I just kept feeling this red light saying it's not your season. And I'm like, God, I got these desires, and I know you called me to preach, so let me get a wife so I can do this thing right. And God says, trust me, it's not your season. So when I got ordained as a minister, I was the only single minister, and I felt out of place because I'm like, everybody else is married. And that's when the ministry took off. And then God started showing me. He said, I did not want you married yet because you don't know your purpose yet. He said, I want to bless your wife so well that when your wife comes in, she ain't asking questions about your mission. She ain't asking questions about your assignment. He said, let me do you like I did Adam and let you know what your Garden of Eden is. Because the thing I always tell all the women, so if you are a single sister listening to this, please take heed to what I'm about to tell you. And I'm going to share this in my next seminar that's coming up July 5th. Every man, when you marry a man, you are going to be marrying his Garden of Eden. What you got to make sure is that you are ready to help him in his garden. Now, his garden may look like he may be a pastor of a church. He may just be a manager at McDonald's. He may just be a man who just wants to go to church once a week. He don't want no more, no less. You got to look at him and say, this is his garden, and I am willing to help him in his garden, because whatever his garden is, you are coming to multiply that garden. So if his garden is just to sit at home to be lazy, guess what you're about to help him multiply? Him being home, being lazy. This is why I tell women, don't say yes right away. You got to check his garden out. He's going to show you his garden by his behaviors. He's going to show you his garden by his passions. If he's a lazy man, if he's a man that don't want to work, don't want to do anything, you are marrying into his space, and you're going to multiply it. And so to marry a man who's lazy and then get mad about it is not the man's fault. It would be the woman's fault, because she saw his garden and said, well, I'm saying yes to his environment. And you don't want, if that man is going, if you don't like the way his garden looks, tell him, listen, you may look good, you may smell good. However, God has gifted me with too much on the inside of me for me to come into your atmosphere, because you ain't going nowhere. You don't have nothing for me to multiply. And I've heard some women say things like, well, no, you can go in and God can use you to change them. I tell them all the time. I said, well, listen, you go ahead and give it a shot. And after 10 years, you come back and tell me how that changing worked, because if the Holy Ghost can't change it, you can't.
Right.
But you
if
know
the
what?
Holy Ghost
so,
can't change
that's so,
wait, hold on,
that's so
hold
interesting.
On right here. Wait, hold up. hold on, wait a minute. If the Holy Ghost can't change him, to change, this is something I had to reiterate, because a lot of times we as women and men feel like we could change an individual. We could make them into who we imagine them to be. No, God has to do it. God has to do it. The Holy Ghost has to do it. First of all, they got to be saved, all right? That's another show in itself.
Right. I know, right?
That's real talk behind the collar. That's what that is, Kim, right? Okay. Go ahead, Kim. Go ahead, Radio AM show.
I was just doing an amen, turning around, running up and down the studio because two days ago, Minister Kim had blessed me with a book called The Lies That Women Believe. And it's Christian based. And one of the lies in the book is that I can change my man. So that was just like, whoa, you talking to
and
that?
And
she gave me that. I was like, that was good stuff.
It is so funny. It's so funny because men feel the same thing too. We do the same thing too. We're like, ooh, you know, it's, you know, because, you know, we're very visually driven. So we, you know, ooh, she looks good. If I can just get her now to just be there. So we do it too, and we're guilty. And the thing that I tell the brothers, because back in the day, I used to try to change every girl I dated. And I got to the point, and through beautiful, amazing marriage mentors, I mean, I thank God for marriage mentors who were just open and truthful with me early in my years, who told me, listen, God, you see, oh Lord, it's so much going through my head right now. I'm trying to be good here. Lord, help me. when you meet a person, you are marrying the person's belief system. That I did a seminar one time about, but you're marrying the person's belief system, because you can have two people who say they both Christians, and their belief systems about what Christians do, what Christians, how they should live, it has everything to do with the one scripture that says, how can two walk together unless they agree? This is why the divorce rate is so high in amongst churches, because you have two believers who both saying Jesus out of their mouth, but their belief system about Jesus is different. So they get into a house, and one person feels that, you know, in order to serve God, that, you know, you can't listen to jazz music or whatever. And then the other person believes jazz music is of the devil. So their belief system about the same God is causing friction in the home. One person believes, hey, honey, let's go out and date. Let's go out on a date night. And let's go dancing, you know, just the couples dancing. And the other person feels that is not of God. So now you got two Christian tongue-talking people who is not in agreement because their belief systems are so different. So what we have to learn is during dating, when we're getting to know a person, we got to find out what is a person's belief system about the God they serve. And this is for Christian singles. Because the belief system is why the divorce rate is so high in the church, because people had one perception of what a marriage should be like. And the other person's interpretation of marriage is completely different. One man feels his wife's supposed to stay at home, cook, clean, don't do nothing. And the wife's belief system is, I'm supposed to have my own job. I can help you bring the money home. And there's going to be friction if there's not a sense of oneness. Okay, y'all making me preach. Lord Jesus. So belief systems is super huge. And these are the things we got to learn about ourselves before we get married. So there was a young lady I was talking to in 2002. We met in church. She loved God with all her heart. I love God with all my heart. And guess what broke us up? A belief system that we could not agree on that would have affected my ministry today if I would have married her, though she was a Christian. And that's why people are married today saying, Lord, what did I get into? Because they said, because the church mothers and the church fathers told us, just get married to somebody. You just want somebody who loved the Lord. Yes, I want somebody who loved the Lord, but who's connected to my purpose too. There's more than just they love the Lord. They got to be connected to your purpose, because that is how you guys walk together in agreement. And that is the part most singles don't know how to maximize while they're single. They don't know how to enjoy them So when a person come in their life to get to know them, you're clear to know if this person is for you because you can see that they're not going where you're going. It's very clear. That's why I am not married right now. And I've had some, and I'm just being real with all y'all, I've had some amazing, gorgeous, God-fearing women who have crossed my path, and the Spirit said, that ain't yours because y'all are not going in the same direction. Okay,
you know, I love your transparency, being authentic and being real because, you know, we have various segments and we do have a segment called Leadership Corner and we talk to our young people. And this is a family show, so it's for everybody, the whole family. And this what you said, I could have been there. I was there, but the red flags were up. Like, God was like, no, you're not ready. You don't even know who you are. How you incorporate a woman, a rib, in your life? You don't even know who you are.
Absolutely.
And that's respectable, honorable, amen? A man of integrity. Like, why would I bring a woman in my world when I got to find who I am? Men, please, please, please. I know the mothers in the church. I know sometimes it's your boy pushing you, and sometimes it's your mother. When am I going to get a grandchild? I'm getting old. I ain't going to live here forever.
Yes,
don't allow people to push you into something that you honestly are not ready for. And I know the scripture that talks about is better to marry than burn. Honey, you won't burn. I was celibate for 5 years. I did not burn. I'm still here.
Amen.
15 years in marriage. So God is good. God is faithful. We want to open the lines when we come back. If you have any questions, any comments that you have for us this morning, we talk about maximizing your singleness. Elder just mentioned something that was so profound. He said, know your purpose. Know what God has called you to. Adam knew his purpose. He did the assignment, and that's why he went to sleep. He was ready for his next assignment. He was ready for the next promotion. Are you ready for your next promotion? We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with our guest, Elder Nathan Salter. We'll be back.
You trust him with your life. Lift those hands. Trust him with everything, y'all. I'm going to trust you. Okay, all the worshipers, I just want you to lift them hands. Come on, stretch them high. Just out of your belly, just worship. Trust him with your marriage. Trust him with your future. You trying to run your own life, that's the problem. God's saying, let it go, let me do it. Come on, let's go in right here. Hallelujah. Come on, just worship. You trust him, lift them hands up. Let's just wave to him. Come on, let's just wave to our king, y'all. Just wave to your king.
I Won't Worry, by our very own guest today, Elder Nathan Salter. You definitely got to get his CD. He is on YouTube. He's doing some wonderful things in the kingdom, and he is really blessing us today. Go to Nathan Salter, Salter, and we definitely will have the link up on our fan page on Facebook. We do have a question. Amen. We're going to open the line. Radio Angel, can you do the honors and bring in our audience?
The
good
line
morning.
Is open.
Good morning. Welcome to the Morning Glory. This is Minister Kim.
Good morning, Minister Kim.
Good morning, my brother Ray Ray Ray. How you doing from Staten Island?
I'm doing wonderful, and I'm enjoying the show.
Great, great, great. Do you have a comment, a question for our guest today?
Yes, I do. My brother, how are you today?
Good. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, and I'm feeling the fire, and I'm taking my notes as well. And I wish my sister was around to hear this, because she's doing the best she can to maximize her singlehood. She turned 32 today, and she's out celebrating, but that's another story. But my question for you is, you know, as a single man that, you know, I'm referring to you, as a single man that's helping people maximize their singleness and talking about marriage, talking about this, do you meet opposition for who are already married and get certain attitudes like, you're single, you know what you're doing, talk about marriage, you ain't married yet? And if you do get that type of opposition, how do you handle that? How do you respond if there is a response?
Gotcha. Good question. What's funny is because I know I'm so clear on my purpose and my assignment, I really never, ever, ever, even in ministerial counseling, I never counsel a married couple because I've never been married. I don't even tell married people how to be married because that's not my lane. What I do is stay in my lane with singleness, because I know if the single people get it right, marriages will be happier. Because the institution of marriage itself is not bad. It's the individuals that go into it that's not prepared. So what I do is I speak from a perspective of principles that I know individuals need in singleness. And married people, honestly, I have not had opposition, because they know I don't, like, if I say things like, y'all marriage is messed up because y'all don't date each other. If I start going in that role, then I'll probably get a lot of opposition, because they're going to look at me like, okay, you getting this, and you tell me too. But so I don't really get no opposition, because I'm so clear to stay in my lane. I've had married couples who literally, this is crazy, who have asked me for advice, and I tell them, I would be the first to tell them, listen, I have a couple that I think I can recommend you to, who's been there, done that, who's been there for 30 years. They got some good advice. But if it's something for spiritual counseling, just for as a believer, I can share from that perspective. But how a couple stay together, that I try not to never touch that. And so I don't get opposition from married couples. I actually get more married couples thanking me, because they hear the information that I share to singles, and they give me more advice. They say, and my book, what's funny is when I wrote my book, I did a survey over 280 couples, and I was asking questions to about 280 couples and just try to get some commonalities and some things that I can glean from their wisdom about marriage so I can share it with single people. And when I got these married people who were just open with me, and that's when I said, okay, I saw some commonalities, and I narrowed those things down. I looked at my life, and I narrowed it down to those 7 things that I put in my book. And those 7 things were things that God was doing with me, and I didn't even know they were the things that the married people would be telling, you know, saying. So it was like confirmation that these 7 things were right on target. So I've had a lot of married people who read the book just to confirm that the stuff that I shared was accurate. And many of them have said, I wish I could have read this before I got married. Keep doing what you're doing. So I get more support, honestly, from married people.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, and, you know, continue on. I support you all the way, my brother.
Oh, man, that means the world coming from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. I appreciate that. That's an awesome question. I just put that also up on our fan page, you know, hashtag the Morning Glory Ivy of Hope. Check us out today. Do you believe that single people should counsel married people? And I'm right with you. I totally agree. I also feel, too, and help me out with this. I know we want to get to our second portion before you have to leave us, Soul Ties and Past Hurt. But if not, you know what? Radio Angel will reach out to you and have you back on, because this is really good meat, amen, good meat that we're getting this morning here. hanging out, if you're married, hanging out often with single people, like your prime, that's, cool, but then there's a, you got to be mindful that you are married, and you should have married people, strong married people, because you're going to go through marriage, marriage, you're going to go through your issues. That's, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we want to get back. I just want you to briefly talk about soul ties, because I know that's what we're talking about, that relationship. I'm married, you're single, but I want to hang out with you majority of time, and that's that soul tie because of the emotion connection that we have with each other. So we'll be right back on the Morning Glory International Voices of Hope with our guest, Elder Nathan Salter. We'll be back.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to another Gleam of Your Hope this morning with Minister Kim, family and friends, our special guest, Elder Nathan Salter, who is a dynamic man of God, anointed. He is doing his thing. He has just released his first book, 17 Singles Should Accomplish Before Marriage. We talked about purpose, and now we want to dive especially into soul ties. Tell us about that, soul ties.
Well, I'll be transparent first and share what happened with me.
Mm-hmm.
As a teenage boy, I lost my virginity at age 12. And from age 12 to age 17, about 17 and a half, I was all over the place. I was just sleeping around just like it was a hobby. And it had no feelings attached to it. It was just doing it because the culture and the environment that I was around said the more women you sleep with, the more cool you are. So I did that. And here I get saved and get into the church, and here the Lord is trying to do a sanctification process on me after salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm struggling with with sexual desires and things like that. And I'm wondering, why is this so hard? Why is it that I can give all these other things up? And this is struggling. I'm struggling in the first few years. And one day in prayer, the Lord impressioned me about soul ties. I didn't even know it was called soul ties, it was like a movie screen hit me. But I prayed one day and I said, Lord, I want to get married, because the preachers I was told you got to get married as a minister. So I'm praying, Lord, I need to get married. And one day in prayer, it was like a movie screen came on, and I started seeing flashes of all these girls that I was with.
Whoa.
They were scrolling through the screen so fast. I can't remember some of their names or nothing. They were just scrolls of, and he said, I would never bring another person until you divorce yourself from these women. And I sat there, and then he had me to start writing their names down. So I'm writing the women that I've been with names down. And I'm just writing all, and the list was getting longer and longer. Then I'm going to page two, and I'm like, wait a minute. And then there was some I couldn't remember their name. And I said, oh, my God. And he said, now what I need you to do, he said, I need you now to detach yourself. He said, I'm going to bring you through a process that you got to detach yourself from all of these souls.
Wow.
And that began opening me up, because he said, what I'm going to do. Now, this was so funny. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you see some of them. And he said, the way you're going to know that your soul is divorced from them is when you can look at them, see the person that you were with, and have no desire to go back.
Ooh, yes, confirmation.
So I was walking in malls. I'm saved now. I'm walking in malls and downtown, and I would see a person I was with 4 years ago. And And I'm like, oh, my God, why am I seeing all these people? And as I'm looking at them, it's almost like my heart was aching. It was almost like I wanted to say I'm sorry. I wanted to say I didn't mean that, you know, to enter into your life like that, you know. And, you know, and because really what people do when they have soul ties is they have tattooed their soul to another person's soul. Now, and because we don't teach people this stuff, this is why people get married. They jump into a marriage relationship, leaving the season of singleness with another person with them, not knowing they're taking them to their marriage. So now, and I'm just, is it okay to be kind of real on this show?
Yes, be real.
Okay, cool.
Be real.
All right, cool. So you have, I had the privilege of someone sharing this with me, and they kind of, you know, told me in the early start of, we started my secret ministry, that it was okay for me to share this as a testimony. But they were kind of talking about that they had some soul tie issues before they got married. They didn't know about it, but they got married. Unfortunately, they're not together right now. But they, in the early part of their years, they got married, and he said, now this is deep, but he said, you know, he prayed for a Christian, God-fearing wife. God blesses him. He gets a God-fearing wife, one who wants to, you know, serve the Lord, and he can, you know, but she did not have the, she was kind of pure in her sexuality, meaning she wasn't exposed.
Right.
So he was used to those freaks. And so some soul ties he had from the past, he had some freaks in his past that he brought into his marriage with this pure woman. Now this pure woman, you know, she's just loving the Lord, and so now it's time for them to, you know, make love in their marriage. And he's now got this pure woman trying to handcuff her and do all take out whips and chains. And this girl was like, this is not what I want. But that's what he wants because his soul was still attached to those memories of those experiences. And this is what soul tie does. So in your singleness, one of the parts of maximizing your singleness is for you to empty as much baggage from your soul ties so you can go in less empty. Meaning, I use an analogy in my book about the airplane. When you go to the airport, they give you a baggage limit. You're in your suitcase. They say 50 pounds, no more or no less. That is for the safety of the plane. There can't be too much weight on the plane for the plane to get to its destination. So they tell you 50 pounds. If you go over 50 pounds, you will pay for it. So that's what we got to do when we think of marriage. When single people try to bring baggage into marriage, there is, each marriage have a weight limit to it. And if a person goes into marriage bringing too much baggage, that whole airplane, that whole journey of marriage is going to be rocky based on too much baggage, too much weight load. So in maximizing singleness, people need to ask the Lord to empty them from the soul ties so they can be open for the relationship that God wants them to have. So in the soul ties, it's basically us divorcing ourselves from the people in our past. Being real, call their name out, say their name in prayer, write their names out on a piece of paper, look at their names. Sometimes hope you can see the person so you can look at them and say, I never want to go back to that. I never want to go back to Egypt again. I want to be clear from this and being honest with it. But so many people, they reminisce over it. And they're fantasizing over their past because they don't understand that their soul has been glued to this other person. Now they think in certain ways, they act in certain ways, and they wonder where I'm getting these behaviors from. It's because you picked up somebody else's patterns in their soul. And now the people in marriage now are saying, what is wrong with me? Why am I thinking like this? And your and people's spouse could be looking at them saying, yeah, what is wrong with you? You wasn't, it's because we went in with too much baggage. I'm not saying we ain't going to have baggage going in because we're not perfect. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. I hope nobody hear me say that. What I'm saying is that there is some stuff in our suitcase we can let go in our singles. That's all I'm saying.
Let it go.
That,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Awesome. Just like on getting ready to get on that plane, guess what? They don't allow you to carry so much baggage. Let it go. Soul tie. Divorce the people from your past. I don't want Data Salt to honor, a blessing to have you here. There's so much more that we want to learn about you, but for now, we're going to put the pin in, amen, that we could take it out for the next time that you come back. But in the meantime,
amen.
I want all of my listeners who are here today to just go to your website, which is www.NathanSalter. God bless you and have a phenomenal day. And if you are a father, happy Father's Day to you. God
Thank
bless
you.
You welcome.
God bless you,
you
all. I'm so looking forward to being back on again with you all.
Oh, yay! Yeah. We definitely will. Radio Angel got it. You don't know. She's going to plug it in and be like, okay, let's get her back.
Awesome well,
work
an honor.
Today. Thank you. It's an honor.
Amen.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Oh, my God. What an awesome, awesome show we are having today. That was the Elder Nathan Salter here, right here on the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope. This gentleman we've been trying to get for over a year because of his schedule, because of the calling on his life. Amen. He's truly maximizing it. It came to this time, but I believe this is the season because you who is listening this morning need to hear how to maximize your singleness. Identify your purpose is number one. Amen. And then get rid of that baggage, that soul tie that's going on inside of you. Amen. If you see an old flame, amen, you see that guy, that girl, and it still kicks on some emotions, you need to get to the altar immediately and ask God to deliver you from that emotional soul tie. We'll be back on the Morning Glory International Voice of Hope with Minister Kim's family and friends. We'll be right back.
God bless you. This is Pastor Thomas S. Cooper. Sometimes life can seem like a puzzle, so many pieces not knowing where they fit. We know someone who can help you master this puzzle. Jesus is and will always be the answer. I want to take this time to invite you to join us each Sunday morning at Kingdom Life Temple. We're located at 3030 Jerome Avenue in the Bronx, New York, between Bedford Park Boulevard and 204th Street. Our service time is Sunday morning, 9:45 a.m., and we also offer children's ministry during our main worship service and our midweek service on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., also offering our teen Bible study. We'd love to see you in the place. We have a saying at our church, one voice, one sound, one family, one love. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you this Sunday.
We never leave this show without giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, but you have eternal life, then you are saved. We encourage you to get into a Bible teaching church to help you on this new journey. We welcome you into the kingdom. We also invite you to join us tomorrow morning at 9:45 for a special celebration as we celebrate Father's Day at Kingdom Life Temple with Pastor Dr. Thomas S. Cooper. For more information, you can always go to Facebook at The Morning Glory IVO Hope. Before we leave today, we want to acknowledge what took place in South Carolina at the church. We want to pray for the families. We want to pray for you who have a concern, who is worried about the state of your family, the states of your churches. Remember, God will hold us up, and he will get us praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Believe all things work together for those who love the Lord. Continue to love people. I don't care what they do to you. Love them. With love and kindness, God has drawn us together to spend another Saturday together. I love you. We love you, and keep hope alive. We'll be back on next week with celebrating our men on fire.
As I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
He shares your pain.
and sometimes. You go through. But listen. Just know
He has His hand on you.
That's a good place to lift up those hands and give Him some praise. Oh, I can't get no help in here. That's a good place to bless Him. Listen. Listen to the words.
See your day.
Even when the sun is up, yes it is. And from the top of your lungs,
you shout.
Oh, will there ever be a change? What shall I do? Can I tell you one thing? Remember, just know.